Singing for us first of all. So you guys go ahead and come up. I'm told this is like herding cats. After the kids sing, we're going to be singing Rejoice in the Lord, page 312, if you want to go ahead and turn there. Hang on. 312. Where do I stand? right, we've got a big shoes to fill after that. All right, let's stand. Let's turn to 312. We'll sing Rejoice in the Lord.
God never moves without purpose or plan. When trying his servant and molding a man, give thanks to the Lord, though your testing seems in darkness, he giveth a song. Oh, rejoice in the Lord. He makes no mistake. He knoweth the end of each path that I take. For when I am tried and purified, I shall come forth as gold.
Let's sing the last.
Now I can see testing comes from above. God strengthens his children and purges in love. My Father knows best, and I trust in his care. Through purging, more fruit I will bear. Oh, be strong in the Lord. He makes no mistake. He knoweth the end of each path that I take. For when I am tried and purified, I shall come forth as gold.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. It was nice to hear the children sing tonight. And those beautiful voices, I had to close my eyes just to think that, was those actually? No, I wouldn't say that. Amen. It was good. And I enjoyed that, kiddos. Well, it's good to be back tonight. Trust you had a pleasant afternoon. And I'm thankful the furnace is working here this evening, and it's warm and pleasant. And we can come in and enjoy the fellowship with each other and, of course, with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so with that, let's take a couple minutes and welcome each other tonight. Amen.
All right, let's turn also to page 276. 276, Jesus is all the world to me. Let's sing the first, second, and last.
Jesus is all the world to me, my life, my joy, my all. strength from day to day. Without him I would fall. When I am sad, to him I go. No other one can cheer me so. When I am sad, he makes me glad. He's my friend. Jesus is all the world to me. My friend in trials sore, I go to him for blessings, and he gives them more and more. He sends the sunshine and the rain. He sends the harvest, golden grain. Sunshine and rain, harvest and grain. He's my friend. Last, Jesus is all the world to me. I want no better friend. I trust him now, I'll trust him when life's fleeting days shall end. Beautiful life with such a friend. Beautiful life with has no end. Eternal life, eternal joy. He's my friend.
All right, let's turn to 355. Let's sing the first and last verse.
Wonderful grace of Jesus, greater than all my sin. How shall my tongue describe it? Where shall its grace begin? Taking away my burden, setting my spirit free. For the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. Wonderful the matchless grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea. Higher than the mountain, sparkling like a fountain, all-sufficient grace for even me. Broader than the scope of my transgression, sing it, greater far than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus, praise his name.
On the last,
wonderful grace of Jesus, reaching the most defiled. By its transforming power, making him God's dear child. Purchasing peace and heaven for all eternity. And the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. Wonderful the matchless grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea. Higher than the mountain, sparkling like a fountain, for even me. Broader than the scope of my transgression, sing it, greater far than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus, praise his name.
All right, you may be seated.
Good evening, Metropolitan Baptist Church. Good to be with you again. Man, please come forward for the offering. I almost forgot this morning, right, didn't I? I did forget. Announcements for today, or for this evening, for this day. We have another upcoming TTU. Brother Wayne will be teaching Historical Books 3. February the 18th through the 22nd from 7 to 10 p.m. You're welcome to come and take the class here, or you can take it online. Last day to turn in camp forms is February the 24th. Ladies Fellowship, Tuesday the 12th. And thank everybody for the Valentine's Banquet, for just participating in it and for your generosity and the giving. Also, we have the men's breakfast coming Saturday, February the 23rd at 9 in the gym, and I encourage all you fellas that haven't been there to come join us. Also, it's not on here, but just keep the Hope Ministry in prayer. We're in the process of starting to give out cards and whatnot, and just keep it in prayer, and just pray that, you know, that God will lead. And also want to. We have a letter up front for Brother Bruce and Ms. Provey. Please pick one up. And the Stevens would like to say thank you for your prayers, meals, and wonderful uplifting visits. And March the 3rd is Pastor and Ms. Marsha's 8th year anniversary here at Metropolitan Baptist Church. We'll be celebrating their anniversary the following Sunday, March the 10th, as a 5th Sunday setting. Please bring your dish and... as always, plenty of dessert. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Father, we're so grateful for your mercy, and Father, for your grace. We're thankful for your Son. Father, we pray that you be with our pastor as he preaches your word, Father God, and pray that you speak to our hearts again this evening. I pray that you be with the offering. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
Have asked about the funeral arrangements for Brother Kenneth Lambert. We really don't have any firm on that, except that we believe at this point it's going to be not until Saturday at 1:30, trying to give time for some family to be able to get in to town. So please pray for the Lambert family and all that's going on in their lives during these days. And we're grateful for the opportunity to minister to them. Well, we're two more points in this study on hope, rejoicing in hope. Hopefully, by the time we finish this, we ought to be able to rejoice in the hope that is ours in Christ. And I really thought there was a possibility that we'd finish this series of messages up tonight. In fact, this is probably one of the longer series that I've ever preached, maybe one I preached through the life of Abraham or one of those, but I've been helped, personally been helped in this study. The study and preparation on this has been very, very helpful to me. And ask you tonight to be turning to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, and when you find your place, please stand with me in reverence to the good word of God. I was thinking, Brother Hudson, I guess it's Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther. I love those books, and it would be well worth your while, excuse me, to take advantage of that. This will be the last segment in a three-part series of studies on that book, and I know Brother Hudson has done a tremendous job with it. We find our place here this evening looking at the glory of hope. And we read in Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse 1, it says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." Father, once again this evening, we ask your blessing and your help. We're grateful for a time with our brothers and sisters in Christ this day. And Lord, it's been a blessing to the preacher. I trust that you'd be pleased to add that blessing to each and every one of our hearts. And this evening, open your word to our understanding. Lord, I pray that there would be ample bread for my brothers and sisters in Christ to take from this evening. We're grateful, we're thankful for your word of hope to us. We thank you. We thank you this evening in Jesus' lovely name. Amen. And of course, you may be seated. Well, as we look at this passage, we want to try to take it as the Apostle Paul wrote it. And as we often say, when we come to Paul's letter to the Romans, it's a very theological book. It deals with the theology of salvation, our salvation in Christ. And we'll see some of that even in this evening's message. And we see here in this matter of the glory of this hope that we rejoice in, that the believer has a faith, as we read in this verse, that justifies with God, simply saying, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Well, let me ask you, what do you believe? What do you believe tonight? And I don't know, maybe you're still asleep from your Sunday siesta, but it would be our desire to try to wake up and to hear something that God would say to us. But what do we believe? And it's amazing how many times you might ask a Christian, someone who professes to be a believer, what they believe, and they have a hard time or they struggle with telling you just what it is that they believe. Shouldn't ought to be that way, and I know that's bad grammar, but forgive me. You might believe this evening, and again, I'm being facetious here, you might believe this evening that the world is falling apart, and I don't think you're too far off with that. You might think everything's great. We might need to talk to you. You might believe a lot of things, of course. But this one thing, beloved, I believe with all my heart. Amen. I believe with everything that I am, and I trust that you do and share my belief in this, that we believe that Jesus Christ, amen, died for our sins. Amen. Died in our place for our sins. I believe this evening, beloved, that I belong to him. Amen. He purchased me. He redeemed me with that sacrifice of his blood, paying what? The price, the wages of our sin. I believe that my sin has been paid for in full by his blood. I believe that back 45 years ago, when I put my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that God forgave me of my sin. Hallelujah. And as we read in this verse, as we place that faith in him, I believe that God forgave me of my sin and declared me, as the word says here, justified or made right with God. God made me right with him. And we'll look at that a little bit this evening. Apostle Paul explains what he means here in chapter 5 earlier on. He's making this statement now. But if we turn back a couple chapters into the third chapter of Romans. It's always right. It's always very, very important that we put what we might be teaching or preaching or what we're seeking from God's word into the context in which it was written, in which it was given to us. And probably very few in this room tonight could not quote Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. It's that Romans road that we're just taught over and over again that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But that's not the beginning and end of this passage. And in fact, these early chapters of Paul's letter to the Romans, that Roman church, a group of believers there in Rome, was a detailed explanation of how all are sinners, whether they be Jews or Gentiles, that indeed all have come short of the glory of God. And even, we're not going to spend a lot of time with this, but if we went back all the way to that first verse of Romans chapter 3, Paul says, "What advantage then hath a Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision?" And his question is the Jew have some advantage over the Gentile? Well, he says, to this extent, the Jew does have advantage in that God was pleased to commit unto the Jews the oracles of God. The Old Testament scriptures were given and trusted to the Jews. And we go down through that chapter. A theme of chapter 3 is the righteousness of God and how desperately we lack that righteousness. Notice it says in verse 5, "But if our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous who take vengeance? Is God wrong in judging our sin?" Well, obviously he's not. And as we go on down through this passage, we see, and especially as we get to verse 10, Paul is making that summation, and he's going back to the Old Testament and bringing the scriptures together that teach our great need of God's help. Verse 10 says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." And of course, the passage goes on to explain and to detail just how unrighteous we are. It says, "There's none that understandeth, there's none that seeketh after God." Verse 12, "They are all gone out of the way, they're together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." Wow. That's not a very popular message in this old world, is it? This old world doesn't want to hear that they're wrong, that they're sinners. But notice, Paul doesn't stop there. He goes on in verse 13. Notice the graphicness here, the ugliness of his description. He says, "The throat is an open sepulcher," nothing but an open stinking tomb. "With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of ass is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. In the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear." Oh my, how many of those bumper stickers we used to see. No fear. And a sadder, but no sadder nor truer statement. No fear. No fear of God before their eyes. Well, as we come to this place in the chapter, it's not a pretty picture, is it? It's not a pretty picture at all in the condition of man. We go on in the passage in verse 19. It says, "Now we know that whatsoever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God." Well, again, who does that include? Includes everyone in the world. Jew or Gentile, there's no advantage. All are guilty before God. In verse 20, "Therefore, by the deeds of the law," by the keeping of the law of God. Now, by the way, I don't want anybody to raise their hand, but just a little self-examination. How many of us in here have kept the law? Not a one of us. We all stand guilty before God's law. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified, our word, in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. As we hold ourselves up before God's law, we find that we indeed are part of these ones described here, guilty before God. And again, one of my favorite words in the Bible, but. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all that believe. For there is no difference. Again, putting it into context, Paul's talking about Jew and Gentile, how all, both, are under sin. And here, whether you're Jew or Gentile, how are you saved? By faith. Amen. By faith. And it's in this context, then, that we come to verse 23. For all, Jew and Gentile, the whole world, have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So the great need is very clear. And Paul is speaking of the answer that is that we indeed receive the righteousness of God. We are justified, made right with God. How? By faith. By faith. As he goes on then, in verse 24, he says, being justified freely by his grace, by the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation. And that word just simply means a satisfaction. He's God's satisfaction for our sin. Whom God has set forth to be the satisfaction of our sin through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission or the removal of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. Hallelujah, folks. We're made right. We've been justified by grace through faith, as we teach. To declare, verse 26, I say, at this time, his righteousness. We're here tonight to declare the righteousness of Christ, the righteousness of God, that he might be just, that he is right in declaring us right. And he is the justifier of him which what? Believeth in Jesus. Who's made right with God? Those that have placed their faith, their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And where does that leave us? Verse 27, where's boasting then? We have nothing to boast in, do we? God did it all. We're just trusting him. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? No, or nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that man is justified, or man is made right by faith without the deeds of the law. Isn't it great? But you're thankful tonight that we don't have a list up here on the wall of do's and don'ts to make you right with God. Man-made religion does exactly that. Gives you this sacrament and this rule and this thing to keep and not, or to do and not to do. But where are we? We're trusting in the grace of God. Amen. We back up. We're resting in the grace of God. Amen. That where we, by faith, have trusted God, trusted Christ, and we, in turn, God has been pleased to make us right, justified us. One of my old Bible teachers used to say is just as if I'd never sinned. Amen. God indeed is good. So we see this tremendous blessing of being made right with God. The believer has a faith that justifies him with God. But secondly, we see the believer has a peace then. Doesn't it give you peace to have that knowledge? They're a beautiful peace. But it's not speaking here of that peace of God back in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. With God. Because of that work of grace, beloved. Through faith in the Son of God, we now have peace with God. We've been justified. Where there's peace been made. Stick with me. That peace is a tremendous blessing that is ours with our Lord. Through faith in Christ, as we've already said, we've been made right with Him. Because we're now right with Him, we have peace with Him. Peace has been made. Now stick with me with this. We're no longer in rebellion to Christ. Well, preacher, I was never in rebellion against God. Really? You think? Well, stick with me. There came that point, praise God, where we ran up the white flag of surrender. And we declared, Lord, I'm yours. Do with me as would please you. We surrendered. I surrender all, don't we sing? In Romans chapter 8, it says this in verse 7. Because, now listen, you say, I was never at odds with God. I was never in rebellion. Listen to this in Romans chapter 8, verse 7. It says, the carnal mind. What's a carnal mind? It's the mind of the flesh, isn't it? That lost mind, what we were in our lost condition. It says, the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. We don't have time to go into, there's another whole message here. But even if we wanted to, we don't have the ability to do right before God. Amen. Without Christ. That word enmity means just what you think it might mean. It means to be at odds with someone. It means to be the enemy of someone's. Exactly what the word means. But praise God. Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, abolished, took away the enmity. Where once we were enemies, we're children now. Where once we were the enemies of God, now in Christ we're His children. Where once I stood before Him and could only address Him as my judge, now, because of Christ, we can call Him what? Father. Father. Oh my. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 14, beginning to read there in verse 14. Notice what Paul says to the Ephesian church. He says, for He, speaking of Jesus, He is our peace. Jesus is our peace. Who hath made both one. Now, Paul's talking to the Ephesian church, and he's got the same things he was dealing with the Roman church. He's talking about Jew and Gentile. And aren't you glad that we've been made one? Doesn't matter who you are, Jew, Gentile. Doesn't matter what side of the tracks we were born on. Doesn't matter any of those distinctions that the world might throw up. In Christ, we've been made one. For He is our peace, who hath made both one and broken down the middle wall of partition between us. You say, what in the world is that talking about? What kind of a wall is this? Well, it's not the wall that we need down on the border. That's a different wall. This was the wall that existed in the temple. Be mindful, if you can in your mind's eye, picture that temple there on the mount in Jerusalem. And it had the great wall around the outside, and as you entered up in, there was a certain sections that different folks were permitted to enter into. Now, if you were a Gentile proselyte to Judaism, you could only go so far. There was a wall. Wasn't the high wall, it was a wall there signifying this division between Jew and Gentile. Paul's saying here, that wall's been taken away. Huh? Not only the Jew has that right to come close, but because that Jesus has abolished that wall, you and I as Gentiles also have this glorious privilege to enter in. Enter in to the Lord, to where the Lord. Notice it goes on. Let me back up. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity. The enmity. Even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain of those two one new man, so making peace. Giving us peace, beloved. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, the payment of Christ at the cross of Calvary, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were far off and to them which were nigh. Now, I know it's kind of hard for us to get our heads around this, but Paul is talking about these two groups here, Jew and Gentile. The Jew was what? He was close. We were removed. But now Paul had that great privilege to come and preach to both the same message of peace. That enmity between us and God has been removed. No longer enemies, but we having been made one in Christ. Well, just a couple thoughts here as we move along. Something for us to consider. Maybe consider carefully. Obviously, if you're here tonight, pray that you're saved. Pray that you are saved. But if you're not saved, please understand. Please understand, God is either one of two things. He's either your worst enemy or your best friend. We don't want to be. We don't want to leave this world at odds with God. But in Christ, again, we address him as our Father. What a friend we have in Jesus, we like to say. Second, many times we might get where we feel kind of sorry for ourselves. None of you have that problem? Well, we might get to feeling kind of sorry for ourselves. We will lament our circumstances. We talked a little bit about that in this morning's message. And maybe we get the idea, well, things just ought to be different. How come I'm in this situation? How come I have to deal with this? And we get to having a little bit of a pity party at times. And we sink into that mindset where we fail to be able to enjoy our peace with God. We lose sight of what we have in him, what Christ has done for us. And that peace that he died to give us with himself, we lose. We lose sight of it. Now again, we can see two things, two kinds of peace, right? There's a peace with God where we're no longer at odds with him. The peace has been made, the white flag went up, and we surrender to him. Peace. There's a peace with God. But then there's also the peace of God that the peace with God gives us. Now that there's peace. Peace for us to enjoy. Peace for us to enjoy in and through that relationship of Christ. Right? Amen. Jesus died to give us that peace, didn't he? Taking away the enmity that we might enjoy the peace of God. But it goes on, I'm trying to get to our actual point, the hope of glory. Thirdly, the believer has access. The believer has access by faith to God and God's grace. God's grace, by whom we have access. Our verse says, verse 2 of Romans chapter 5. By whom we have access. Well, what's access? We think of that. Well, what is this access that Paul's talking about? Well, as a child of God, I have access or admission. I have admission to Him. And because I have access to Him, we have access to His grace. To His grace. What's it say? By whom also we have access by faith into this grace. Into this grace. Well, what is it that you would need to gain access for or to? When I say that, hopefully I said that right. It might be something that is of great value. Can you imagine? I've never been there, but to see the crown jewels of the royalty of Great Britain, you just can't walk in there. You've got to be given access to go in. So something maybe of great value. You might have to have access to receive something or to go to receive something of privilege. Of privilege. It would be something that open access to is not the norm. There's such things we understand, you know. We once in a great while we'll see where someone thinks that they might that they should or ought to have access to the president, and they'll climb over that big old steel fence down there in Washington D.C. on Pennsylvania Avenue, and it was amazing here. What was it, a year or so ago? Some guy ran across there and got all the way in. He got in the door. I don't think you get farther than that. Normally you go over that fence and you're going to receive a special greeting. Why? Because you don't have access. You got to have special granted access if you're going to visit the President of the United States. I think we get the idea here. Well, Paul's talking about here in this passage of having access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. What's that tell us? That there's a way to receive that access. We've got to gain that access in the way that God has prescribed. And how is it that we have that access to His grace? Pretty simple, by faith. We're granted that access through faith in Him. Can we have that access without faith? No. Well, Paul's words in Ephesians 2, he speaks about this access in the same situation that we saw there in Romans chapter 3 that he talked about, the situation that both Jew and Gentiles find themselves in. In Romans chapter 2 and verse 18, it says, "For through Him," through who? Through the Lord Jesus Christ, "we both, Jew and Gentile, have access," hallelujah, "we have access by one Spirit unto the Father." How do we have access to the Father, the God, the Father of all glory? By Jesus Christ. By faith in Jesus Christ. In the third chapter, Ephesians, in verse 12, it says, "In whom," and again still speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, "we have boldness and access." And notice, we have that boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. We can have confidence in this. Why? Preacher, how can I have confidence? Because of what I've done? No. Because of who we're trusting. We have that confidence because of what Jesus has done. Takes away all that question and doubt. And then in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 and 16, we read this. Very precious words. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Aren't you thankful? Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ knows what you're going through, what you're dealing with. Whatever the struggle, whatever the battle might be, he understands. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Jesus was sinless through it all. Goes on, it says, let us therefore, or because of what Christ has accomplished for us, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that access, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Beloved, isn't it tremendous? Isn't it tremendous to know, have that peace, that confidence, that whatever the situation, in whatever the time, whatever, you have access to God. You have access to the very throne of grace. You don't need to call the preacher. You can call me if you want. I'll pray for you. But you don't need to call some preacher to get access. Huh? There's no password. Aren't you thankful? I battle passwords. Jeffrey's always trying to talk me into some program that'll manage all that. I still haven't figured that out. But battle those passwords. Don't need a password in this thing. Just faith. Faith is the password. God's grace. Grace. What is it? That good favor that we have through our God. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Well, fourthly, the believer is in a grace that establishes us. If that makes sense, maybe I could have worded it better. The believer is in grace in such a way that it establishes us. You know, I hate to admit this, and I won't admit it to you young guys. Don't listen. You better listen. I find myself more and more, you know, once in a while I get a little shaky. Find myself stumbling a little bit more than I used to. In fact, I confessed this the other day. I don't know if I even told Marcia. When we were up visiting her mother some months ago, and I walked out into the garage and I fell right flat out on the garage floor. I'm going like this, turn around, look and see if Marcia or her mother saw me. I mean, sometimes we're just not as stable as we'd like to be. But oh, we're stable in the grace of God. We're established. I like that word. We're established in his grace. Oh my, how is it then that we can have that confidence to stand in the grace of God? It's because of what he's done. Because I do not come to God in my own righteousness. We don't stand before God in the righteousness of ourselves. We stand there before God clothed, if we can use that word, in the righteousness of Christ. Amen. Huh? Heavenly Father looks at this raggedy old preacher and he says, he doesn't see. My rags, he sees that I'm clothed in the righteousness of his own Son. Isn't it glorious? And because of that, we can stand there in confidence because we're clothed with him. Clothed with him. Stand before God in his grace. The grace that we received how? Just want to keep us reaffirming it. That we received by faith, by trusting him. Because we can stand there in that confidence because of what you have, because of what you are in Christ. Isn't that great? But then, just two more points and we'll be done. The believer rejoices in this hope. And that's what this study's been all about. Every one of these points, we try to lay the foundation of what Paul or Peter or one of the others is talking about. The Lord Jesus Christ. and then bring forth why we rejoice in that truth, the hope that that truth gives us. This evening, shouldn't we have a hope based upon what Christ has done for us? The believer rejoices in this hope. Again, this hope that we have motivates us, spurs us to rejoice. God's people, beloved, God's people need to learn to rejoice. I don't know. I guess we, as independent Baptists, we're supposed to be long-faced and sad or something. I mean, if I look at it, I mean, never mind, I'm not looking at y'all. I mean, you ought to be on this side of the pulpit sometimes. I'll just get honest. Huh? I look out here and I mean, I do everything I can to try to keep you awake. Look, I mean, I've done failed with these three right here. That's okay. They had a long day. Amen. I have hope. Causes us to rejoice. The word rejoice means to glory in something. You got anything to glory in tonight? Well, we don't glory in ourselves, do we? We don't boast in ourselves as we saw earlier. But surely we ought to be able to boast in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. What did Christ do for you? Hallelujah. We can rejoice in that. Give God glory. If you're saved this evening, you ought to be able to give Him glory. At least a little grunt once in a while. The word rejoice. But then fifthly, lastly, the believer has hope of the glory of God. Hope of the glory of God. Forgive me, I don't want to drag this, but I'm thankful that Kenneth is enjoying that hope tonight. Amen. He's enjoying the hope of the glory of God. There was several folks there in the front room of Kenneth's house the other day, Brother C.R., myself, and some others, as Kenneth was taking those last breaths, I have to tell you, I was happy for him. Happy for him. Because as he took those last breaths here, I knew that the air he would soon be breathing was the air of glory. Celestial. He'd left the terrestrial, and he was enjoying the celestial, as Paul writes. Can we be sad about that? No, not especially when someone has been so sick and struggling. The believer has this hope of the glory of God. Now, if what we've already seen isn't enough to give you some joy and make your heart maybe beat a little bit faster, let's put it together. Let's put together what we've seen here this evening. We have been justified, right? We have been justified, made right with God by faith. We have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. We've seen this evening that we have access to God and His grace by faith. We have grace. This grace establishes us in Him. We're firm. Our firm a foundation, we also like to sing. And we have a hope. We have a hope to rejoice in. Amen. Amen. The hope of the glory of God. One day, One day, we'll enjoy that hope of glory. We enjoy the hope in Christ now. But one day, we'll experience the hope of glory. Again and again, our study, heaven's hope, our future hope of glory comes up, shows itself. Heaven and all that it is something that we have the great privilege to what? Look forward to. You know, someone told me once, well, preacher, I'm sure thankful that I'm going to heaven, but I'm not in a hurry. You know, this person, they were being as honest as they could, and they weren't being disrespectful at all. I understood what they were talking about. There was a lady, and she says, I've got some things I need to take care of. And at the time, her husband was lost, and she was trying to raise her kids up in the Lord, and I didn't think she was wrong in any of those things. But still, our mind's eyes, where? The eyes of our soul, our spirit, are on glory. Amen. On heaven's hope. The glory of God awaits us. Are we made like Him? The glory of God awaits us. And it's constantly there on the horizon for us. I know sometimes we can get kind of sunk down in behind all the stuff that's going on, and we've got to remind ourselves and maybe even rise up a little bit on our tippy toes to be mindful of that glory that waits us. It's always there. It's never going away. It's ours. As we saw last Sunday night, reserved in glory for us. Well, can we rejoice? I hope so. I'm praying the Lord help me be a rejoicing Christian. We were talking this morning. I don't want to be a grumpy old Christian. I think it was in our Sunday school class. I want to be a grumpy old man. Don't you be laughing at me, Adam. I can get grumpy, though, Ricky. Be careful. I want to rejoice. Rejoice in what awaits, what we have now, and what awaits us in Christ. Let's stand together, beloved. The glory of God. Father, we bow before you, thanking you, Lord, for your goodness to us. Thank you for your love and your great grace, that grace that we stand in this evening. That our standing in Christ is sure and certain, and that confidence that you fill our souls with. Pray, Father, even this evening. Thank you for my brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank you for the time of fellowship with them, and certainly the time that we can spend in your blessed book. So this evening, Father, I pray that as we would sing our last song for the day and pray our last prayer in this day of worship, that we can rejoice in the hope that is ours. Please, Lord, bless in every area and every way. Use us, Father. We want to be used to bring glory to you. For it's in Jesus' name, and again, for His honor, we pray. Amen. Amen. Brother John.
Page 118.
Amen. As we sing, folks, might we just let the Word of God settle into our hearts.
I need Thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like Thine can peace afford. I need Thee, oh, I need Thee. Every hour I need Thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to Thee. I need Thee every hour, stay Thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when Thou art nigh. I need Thee, oh, I need Thee. Every hour I need Thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to Thee. I need Thee every hour, in joy or pain. Come quickly and abide, or life is vain. I need Thee, oh, I need Thee. Every hour I need Thee.
Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to Thee. I need Thee every hour, most Holy One. Oh, make me Thine indeed, Thou blessed Son. I need Thee, oh, I need Thee, every hour I need Thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to Thee. I need Thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like Thine can peace afford. I need Thee, oh, I need Thee, every hour I need Thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to Thee.
Your dad got a phone call from your mom before the service. Did you?
She had a really bad headache, so he went to be with her. She wanted him over there. She's okay now.
But okay.
They're watching the services right now.
Okay. Hello, Beth. And okay, I'd heard that he had to leave and wanted to make sure it was not something else. I think, what day is Miss Erlene traveling, brother? Next Sunday? Okay, I wasn't sure just when. Please pray for the Lambert families we mentioned and for each other, different ones. Jane Newman and Dorothy Allison. You know, I think of Dorothy, I think, been a member here since the 50s. And CR didn't come along. He was a latecomer. It was in about 1960 when he got here. I'm sure thankful for these ones. Pillars of this church. So please pray. For Miss Dorothy, she's struggling, and so just please pray for God's grace there as well. Amen. Brother.
Let's be dismissed with our chorus. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He hath done.